Scriptures are from Numbers, Luke, and 1 Corinthians, continuing our series on the gifts, the graces of the Holy Spirit. First Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 17. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Now Luke chapter 18, verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? All right, now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 13. This is the section that our series is coming from. If you want to read this at home and study it, the section that we're talking about goes from chapter 12 to chapter 14. Paul is addressing worship in the church in Corinth and talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, you will give justice to those who cry out to you day and night. And you will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and seek and knock. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would pour out your Spirit so that I may preach and so that we may all listen. And not just hear words with our minds, but receive them in our spirits that they would grow and bear fruit so that people would come to you and be transformed and be converted and become temples of the Holy Spirit. We know that your plan is good and it's very gracious. So please speak to us through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today the sermon is on faith, not just faith in general, but the charism of faith. You remember last week I described the Greek word charismata as a broken water main or an oasis in the desert. Right underneath the street there's a water main. The water flows through it all the time, but if the water main breaks, the water comes up in the street. And underneath the desert, there is a water table. There is an aquifer, often, of water that is like a river. And when that water comes to the surface, even though there's no rain, in the middle of the burning hot sand, you have an oasis with water. That is what the charismata is like. That is what the upwelling of grace is like. The word gift, that's translated gift, when there are different gifts of the Holy Spirit given, is that manifestation of grace. All right, so to further explain the manifestation of grace that is faith, I need to tell you about grapefruit. So back in Iowa, some kids in the youth group were doing a fundraiser for school, and usually I'm pretty cheap with those things, but once I decided to just go all out and buy 40 pounds of grapefruit. Just went cuckoo and bought my favorite fruit, grapefruit, a huge box of grapefruit. I was the only one in the house that wanted these ruby red grapefruit, and I gorged upon grapefruit for a long time. And I was bragging about it to one of the guys in the church, and he said, you know, you better be careful if you're taking any medications. Are you taking cholesterol medication? I said, why, no, sir, I'm not. You see, he was a doctor. And he said, well, that grapefruit can interact with your medications. It lowers your cholesterol, you see. I said, my goodness, grapefruit is medicine. I didn't know that. Well, it turns out there's a lot of foods that are medicine. Turmeric is medicine. It lowers inflammation. Sage, that's in the same, you know, cabinet in your kitchen where all the spices are. Sage is used to treat Alzheimer's disease. It impacts the way your brain functions. There's a lot of foods that we eat that are medicine. You see, we need food every day, basically. Unless you're in an extended fast, you're going to expect to eat in a certain calendar day. And it's just something that we need. We need good, healthy food every day. It's a basic assumption. And as Christians, we need faith every day. Every day. Always faith. Jesus was standing talking to some disciples, and he said to them, you have seen and believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. He was talking about you. You're blessed. You haven't seen Jesus. Maybe you had a vision that I don't know about, but I assume you've never seen Jesus, and yet you believe. You have to believe every day. You have to have faith every day. You're not going to keep following Christ, keep serving Christ, keep knowing that your name is written in heaven. If you don't have faith, it's an everyday thing. But what Paul describes that I just read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that's called faith. It's an oasis. It's a broken water main. It's a special expression of grace that is faith. And to try and to describe it, I give to you Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, we just read the end of it. God was sounding pretty frustrated, wasn't he? He was frustrated because 12 spies were sent into the land. He brought the children of Israel out of slavery. They were in misery. They were being killed and mistreated in slavery. And he heard their cries and he rescued them with powerful miracles. And he brought them out of slavery. They were dead meat. They were standing at the edge of the Red Sea. And there was an army on one side and an impassable ocean on the other. And God saved them. They were dead again in the wilderness with no water to drink and no food. And God saved them. And there were enemies stronger than them. And God saved them. And he was visible in a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud in the daytime. He saved them and he saved them. And they rebelled against him to the point when they got to the promised land that was bordered with the Jordan River. They sent 12 spies in to figure out, can we do this? The 12 spies went in and they saw it was filled with good food and good land, but they also saw that the enemies they would have to overcome were strong. And the majority opinion was, oh, forget it. This isn't going to work. Nobody in their right mind would ever try that. But the minority opinion, with Caleb and Joshua, who's not mentioned in the scripture I read, the minority opinion was, wake up! Didn't God bring us this far? Didn't you see the fire? Didn't you see the cloud? Didn't you taste the manna? Didn't you drink the water? Wake up! This is God's project, not yours. That is what it's like when there's a manifestation of faith. When there is a charismata of faith. There's ordinary faith, and then there's a faith that is not from human reason, and not from the majority opinion, and not from the expectations that come on a natural level, but is an upwelling, an expression of faith in God, of grace. It can happen in a family. Mom and dad are talking and they're saying, oh man, you know, I don't know if we can do this. There's not enough money. And the children are listening, and then one little 8-year-old who went to VBS said, God can do it. Now, you have to pay attention. You know, I have to tell you this for practical reasons. When Paul begins this conversation about wisdom, knowledge, faith, and into prophecy and tongues and miracles and all the things that we're going to talk about, each one of them, we're not going to skip a single one. When Paul begins that conversation, the first thing he says is, you need to understand what spirit you're hearing. Nobody by the Spirit of God says Jesus Christ is accursed. And nobody can say Jesus is Lord by some other spirit, only by the Holy Spirit. And so when this expression of faith comes up, go ahead and test it. Just because it's a minority opinion from a person that doesn't have a lot of power in the situation, and it's talking about God, doesn't mean it's automatically right. It could be that the child knows that it's good to say something that sounds like Sunday school. It could be in a committee meeting when the person who's the new person on the committee who doesn't have as much clout in the church says, well, I think God can do it. Could be that person's just being proud and trying to say something spiritual. In a session meeting when most of the elders say, no, we don't want to do that, that goes against the grain, or people will be upset. But one person says, I think God would be pleased with that. Go ahead and test it. Is it coming from pride? Is it coming from attention-seeking behavior? Is it coming from a different spirit, or is it an upwelling of grace? I have this little illustration in my mind that is what I think of for what it's like when the charismata, when the oasis of faith happens in a conversation like that. Somebody mentioned to me, actually it was Caleb and Olivia, my son and his friend who were here not too long ago. His friend Olivia said, the air here is so sweet. And it's true. When you walk out of the church today, just take a big breath through your nose and just smell it. The cottonwoods and the spruce tips and the lilacs. I don't know what combination it is, the water from the ocean, but it just smells sweet. I think, my theory is that when this word of faith, when an upwelling of grace comes and faith enters a conversation that is otherwise a defeated and doubting conversation, that there's this little aroma like the smell of Hanes in the summertime, early summer, smell of life and freshness. There's this sense, this atmosphere of freshness, not an atmosphere of pride. Faith that is medicine and not just food. Faith that is beyond the ordinary faith that you need every day. It wells up for a purpose. Now, a side note that's pretty important to me and to you is that the result of listening to that minority voice, and I would say that it's usually a minority voice because Paul mentions to one person is given this, to one person is given that, to another faith. So I would expect, maybe not every time, but I would expect many times that voice of faith comes in the middle of doubt. Or when there's a special need that ordinarily wouldn't be seen, when that minority voice comes, if the word of faith that really is from the Lord is heeded, listened to, and acted upon, the net result will be unity, not division. It's a minority voice. Most people may be against the idea. It's too hard. It's too risky. It's too scary. It's too out of the ordinary. Whatever it is. I didn't think of it. We didn't do it that way before. Whatever it is. If the voice is from the Lord and it's listened to, the net result will be unity. Think about the spies that went into the land. Okay, 12 spies went in to look at the promised land God had given them. They were a minority voice. They weren't the vote that would be cast for the decision, but if they would have been listened to, all of God's children would have gone into the promised land in one big group, done their duty, received their inheritance. God makes a point the way this story goes out because it has a foreshadowing of the division that happens in the nation of Israel in the future. In the future, Israel would be divided, the 12 tribes, a group of 10 and a group of 2. And the group of 10, the northern kingdom, was the most disobedient and rejected God's covenant the first, like the 10 spies who rejected God when they came into the promised land. But two were faithful, and it led to division. So when you listen to faith, when it is brought by the Holy Spirit and you discern this is from God, even if it goes against the grain and goes against the way things have usually been done or the majority view, the result will be unity. I have to point out, too, that Paul, when he's preaching between chapter 12 and 14, his goal is not to teach the church about spiritual gifts. They're already doing these things. His goal is to restore a unity that is a powerful expression of grace, a unity that is rare for us. It will be wonderful to be in one service together and to be physically present, but the unity that Paul is trying to restore in that church is greater than that. It's a unity that's described in Acts chapter 4. It's an expression of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, you had all these Jewish believers. They were all, already kinfolk by Jewish heritage, but then they received the Holy Spirit, and they suddenly had a unity that was way beyond the unity they had before. The scripture says that they didn't even consider their own possessions their own, that what I have is yours, and they gave to anyone in need. They were radical about giving. If they had extra property, they sold real estate. And there was not a poor person among them. They just did not have a concern for their own selves. They had a unity that was powerful and a gift of grace. I think that the church in Corinth, Paul mentions this, whether you were slave or free, Jew or Gentile, it was an incredible unity. The Roman Empire did not go for that. They didn't go for slaves and free people being together. They didn't go for different status being together. And the Jews and the Gentiles did not go for being together. Jews didn't like to be with Gentiles. I mean, that is putting it mildly. So when they had their unity, it was a Holy Spirit unity that was powerful. That's what Paul was trying to restore. It comes by responding to the work of the Holy Spirit that builds up the whole body, and it also comes by love, which is 1 Corinthians 13. I'll speak more about that in future sermons, but if you've been to a wedding, you probably heard it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or jealous or boastful, not easily provoked. And if you practice that more than you want to, that opens the door for the grace of the Lord to bring the unity that you want. All right. Now moving on to what Jesus said. Jesus said a few things that are kind of chilling. They haunt me. And the things that he said that haunt me have to do with the end times before he comes again. One of them that we didn't read is this. Jesus said, because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. He's talking about two problems there. One is the increase of lawlessness, and the other addresses the church. The love of most will grow cold. I'd say to have a riot that lasts more than a year is an increase of lawlessness. I mean, a riot that lasts more than a minute is 1 minute too long for me. But that's something we can grieve. But what Jesus is speaking to for his church, for you and I, is that it's just as grievous if our love grows cold. Do not let your love grow cold. Do not let factions and divisions and unhealed wounds and old sorrows keep you from reaching out in love, receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. Do not let certain people be on your bad list. Address it and deal with it. And let the love of God soften your hearts. But the other thing that Jesus said that haunts me is what we read. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Whoa. Listen to that. Now, he told the story of the unjust judge. We just caught the end of it. This is a story of a judge that was wicked. All he cared about was bribes. If you could do something for him, you could get your justice. And this widow came and said, I've been wronged, I've been cheated, I've been lied to, I've been stolen from, and you're the judge. You need to do something about it. He said, case dismissed, inadequate evidence. Every day she'd come and say, I've been wronged, I've got evidence, I've been cheated, I've been stolen from, I've been lied to. You're the judge, you can do something about it. Case dismissed. He didn't care about God, he didn't care about people. He had no fear. All he wanted was what he wanted for himself. He was a wicked judge. Eventually, he said, you know what? In my selfishness, I have to admit that I'm being aggravated by this woman, and the only way to get her to go away is to give her what she's asking for. Judgment is for the widow. Restore to her what was lost. And God, Jesus says, look, you human beings, compared to God, human beings are punks. Human beings are selfish and sinful, and there's not a good one on the face of the earth compared to God. Jesus said, only God is good. Why do you call me good? But if a human judge, who's even a bad human being, will give justice just because of a persistent widow asking, then God, who is good, won't he answer the prayers of his children who are crying to him for justice? And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Is there no faith that God is good? Why do people give up? Why do people quit praying? Why do people quit asking him? Why do people let their faith be shallow? Jesus is trying to make us thirsty, like giving you pretzels so you'll order a drink. I recommend seltzer, okay? He's trying to make you thirsty. Where is your faith? He's trying to stir up a thirst for faith. We need not just ordinary faith that gets us through day by day. We need that kind of faith that breaks through. That breaks through so that something can be accomplished. And there are some things that can't be accomplished without that breakthrough faith. Okay, so to close, I just need to charge you with two things. And say, do this. These are the two things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to be aware and test it. Whenever this expression of faith comes, whenever you hear somebody stick out like a sore thumb and sort of ruin the peace of the moment by saying something that sounds difficult, well, I think God could do it, or I think we should try it, or if it, test it. Listen and test it. Listen and say, is this perhaps an expression of grace? Is this coming by the Holy Spirit? Does this person say this because God is giving them special faith? And test it. Is it coming from selfishness and from pride? Or is this the aroma of springtime? Is this the aroma of Christ? Is this grace? And then, don't quench the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is speaking, don't quench it. Now, if we were to go back four generations, that put us in the late 1800s. Here in Haines, here at this church. And a lot was going on at this church. This church was an important mission at that time. And I want to propose to you that sometime between then and now, God, in His grace, spoke a word of faith to somebody. Maybe there were elders, and maybe there were pastors, and maybe there were big, important people with power. And a little child said, God can do it. And they said, no, you go back and play. Or maybe somebody said, you know, when we were on the mission field, we would pray for people and miracles would happen. God could do it. No, we don't do that here. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm not just going to ask, like last week, that God would give us this expression of grace, but I'm going to ask forgiveness first. If the sins of our parents are visited on us, it means we have to deal with the consequences of previous sin, and what we need to do is repent and ask for forgiveness. If it's always been done a certain way, if my parents did things wrong a certain way, I don't go with what they did. I repent. I need to repent and ask forgiveness and say, Lord, break that curse. Don't let me fall into what they fell into. And we need to do that too. So we're going to pray now. We're going to expect the Lord to speak in His own time, in His own way, with expressions of faith. We're going to test those. And if we feel that it's from the Holy Spirit, if we act in them, the result will be unity. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love You. You're a good Father, a good God, and You guide us. Moses guided the children of Israel through a harsh and dangerous desert, and You can guide us in this world, no matter how hard it gets. Lord, we are encouraged and refreshed to hear about the faith that You can give that's beyond ordinary faith. And we pray that You would give it to us, but we recognize, Lord, that many times we as individuals, we as a church, and we as a nation have rejected the good gifts that You've given. Sometimes You've spoken and given a gift of faith, and we've rejected it and not gone in that way, and we confess that sin and pray that you forgive us. We thank you that Christ died on the cross to forgive us our sins, and he took our sin in his body on the cross. And we pray that you would forgive us for the sake of Christ and give us a fresh start. Give us a chance to hear all the tasks that you would assign to us, all the things that you'd call us to do that can only come by faith. Give us a special discernment and ability to know when a word is being spoken that is faith and not just a human idea. We trust you. We know that you can do this. And we place ourselves in your hands. We receive your forgiveness and we receive a close relationship with you and with each other. We want unity and pray that you would give the unity that only you can give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.